It is 6:30, so assuming I can remember what to do, we will start. Very, very warm in-person welcome to the first meeting of the Cabinet in over 12 months in face-to-face forum. So we will kick off with item number one, which is to receive apologies for absence. Andrea?
Thank you, Chairman. We've received apologies from Councillor Peters.
Thank you very much indeed. Item number two then is declarations of interest. Does anybody have any declarations in respect of the matters on the agenda this evening? No? Okay. In which case we will move on to item number three, which is to approve as a correct record the public minutes of the meeting held on the 15th of February 2021. So those minutes have been circulated. I would like to propose that we accept those minutes as a correct record of the meeting. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Faulkner. Any comments, observations on the minutes? No? Okay. All those in favour? Okay. That's everybody in a voting capacity, so I will sign those now. Okay, which takes us on to item number four, which is to consider any urgent business brought forward to the meeting under Rule 12. We have no urgent business that I'm aware of. No, okay. Which takes us on to item number five then, which is the forward plan. And I'll pass to the Chief Executive.
Thank you, Leader. This is the forward plan from the 1st of May right the way through to the 31st of August this year. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions on the forward plan? No? Okay. Which then takes us on to item number six, which is the feasibility assessment for the use of an Article 4 directive to control the growth in houses of multiple occupation. I'll pass to Brett to present, please.
Thank you, Leader. There is some evidence of significant growth in the amount of family homes being converted into houses of multiple occupation. Is provided at 3.1. But in basic terms, a HMO is a single dwelling that is occupied by three or more people living in more than one household and who share one or more basic amenities. Due to the way the statutory licensing and planning regimes operate, the data on the number and location of HMOs is limited. The number of HMO-related complaints and an increase in lost housing benefit subsidy indicate a substantial increase in numbers. Well-managed HMOs are an important source of low-cost private sector housing for students and others seeking temporary accommodation. However, a proliferation of HMOs in certain areas can present challenges to the future sustainability of neighbourhoods and impact on their character and residential amenity. In particular, insecure housing and high levels of transience can have a detrimental impact on the surrounding area. The government encourages local planning authorities to help maintain balanced communities. A balanced community is defined as one that is not dominated by one particular household type, size, or tenure. Article 4 directions are the legal means by which a local authority can require property owners to seek permission to convert a single dwelling house into a small HMO. This effectively withdraws a permitted development right. Pardon me. Currently held by owners. The purpose of an Article 4 direction would be to give the council more control over housing stock through the ability to control the density of HMOs in a given area. An Article 4 direction will not prevent the conversion to a HMO. It will trigger the need for planning consent within the specified area, which has been identified as being more problematic before the development can take place. Change of use to a care home or C2 use also requires planning consent, so there should be no avoiding the direction once it is in place. This will enable the Council to fully consider the implications of each proposal on merit and against policy and where appropriate to include conditions on the decision. This will be a new area of work for the Council, but colleagues in planning expect to be able to attend Cabinet by September with a proposal for the Article 4 direction if they receive approval. So the recommendation of this report is to create draft action for both MOs. And with that, I'll hand back to you, Leader, for any questions.
Brett, thank you very much indeed for the report and for that. Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Leader. Thank you, Brett, for that comprehensive report. I'd just like to remind colleagues that this will not be a panacea to prevent everything, but it will...
Councillor Faulkner, can I just ask you to bring your mic a little bit closer to you?
Okay.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Brett for a comprehensive report, but I'd like to remind colleagues that this is not a panacea to address all of the evils that we are having to face in terms of housing multiple occupation. There will be a strategy to look at other alternatives to assist in this. What we want to do is to ensure that all houses of multiple occupation are managed properly by people who are good landlords and registered social landlords. And if we have all of our HMOs managed by registered social landlords, we won't have problems with housing benefits and we won't have problems with antisocial behaviour, and we won't have the complaints that we are now having registered. So it's just one part of a strategy that we hope to bring forward later. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments? No? Okay. So I would like to propose the recommendation as set out in section 15 of the report, and that is to create a draft Article 4 direction reviewing the evidence as to which areas should be included. Can I have a seconder? Councillor Faulkner. All those in favour? That's unanimous from the voting members attending. Thank you very much. And thank you very much, Brett. We'll let you get on with the work. Thank you very much. Okay, which takes us on to item number 7, which is the COVID-19 Emergency Planning Update Report, May 2021. And I'll pass to James to present.
Thank you, Leader. So this is the regular report that we've been bringing forward on a bi-monthly basis, which collates the COVID response and recovery items from across the authority. But as normal, I'll just take a brief run through the report and pull out the key points and relevant additions since the last version of the report. But as always, I'd refer you to the handy summary, which is shown in the table, which you can see on page 6 of the report, which just draws everything together across those four themes that we've been continuing to use to focus our review. But if we start with community and partners, so that's section 515 of the report. This section shows the current position in terms of restrictions and guidance, and now reflects the easing of restrictions. Now we're well into the government's four-stage roadmap. And the graphic you can see spanning the pages 7 and 8 just illustrates the detail of each of those stages. There's also reference now in the report to the testing site at the town hall moving to the library car park last month, along with reference to how partners continue to encourage the take-up of testing and vaccination across our communities. So, for example, there's the availability of home-use testing kits, as well as the community testing sites. And on vaccinations, there's an example here included regarding the pop-up vaccination clinic that recently took place at the mosque in Uxbridge Street in Burton, which was in a bid to increase take-up, particularly in the four areas of interest. And on a similar point, the councillors, of course, continue to support communication campaigns regarding vaccinations, including some detailed information being shared to tackle myths and misinformation recently. And these points have been reiterated in this report. Moving on to service changes and communication, so that's section 516. There's a reminder of the council facilities have had some level of impact as a result of COVID restrictions. So that table we can see on page 10 of the report just summarises the current position, including the recent reopenings as we've been moving through the government's roadmap. In addition to the campaigns that I touched on a moment ago, there continues to be a range of messaging being shared through our channel. So there's a number of examples in the reports, including the Stay Local campaign designed to promote the town centres and high streets and other shopping areas in the borough. We have the carry it in and carry it out messaging regarding responsible use of open spaces, particularly with the change in restrictions recently on meeting people and the good weather that we've had in the period since the last report. We also have the do it for what matters messaging regarding adherence to restrictions and guidance in the context of the roadmap, and the trusted voices messaging regarding testing and vaccination take up. So there's been a wide range of materials that have continued to be communicated through our channels, as I say. On people and processes, that's section 517. We have here the ongoing updates on COVID-related staff absence levels. There's also reference now to the follow-up staff survey, which is exploring people's experiences of home working and views on what a staff return to the office could look like in the months ahead. There's also a number of examples in this section of the report on process-related developments, particularly from a regulatory type of perspective that support the work of those teams referenced in the report there. And finally, on the fourth theme of finances, so section 518, we've got the position with the grants and reliefs that have continued to be administered by the authority. And as always, there are some significant numbers shown in that table that you can see across pages 12 and 13 of the report, with over £55 million being allocated through the various schemes at the time of writing. And throughout the remainder of this section, we have detail on a number of other grants and allocations, more from an organisational type of perspective. So, for example, there is reference to the successful application to the National Leisure Recovery Fund. There's an allocation relating to the reopening of high streets and an indicative allocation relating to the Contain Outbreaks Management Fund. So that's the response side of things. The report also details our local recovery framework, looking at the various recovery activities. So there's a lot of information detailed throughout the tables you can see from page 15 onwards, which includes a lot of good work and other opportunity in terms of recovery items. So that's a quick summary of the report. The recommendation is simply to note the update contained within the report. And with that, I can hand back to you, Leader.
Thank you very much, James, for the presentation and, as ever, for the detailed and quality report. Does anybody have any questions or comments? No? Okay. So just to update everybody, the current up-to-date seven-day rate as of today for East Staffordshire is 12.5, which is currently the second highest still across Staffordshire, although the numbers are now pretty close together, so I will just read them out for information since they are quite close together. So Cannock is 10.9, Lichfield 11.5, Newcastle 10.8, South Staffs is 8, Stafford is 12.4, Staffordshire Moorlands 22.3, and Tamworth 7.8. So it's obviously good to see that the virus is in retreat, and obviously very positive news this evening for our businesses in East Staffordshire, and particularly our leisure and hospitality businesses, that the next stage of reopening will go ahead from Monday. And if we'd had this meeting on Monday, we could have all had a hug. But not to be, I'm afraid, this evening. So if there are no other questions or comments on that, are we happy to note the update? I'll take that as a yes. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, James. Which takes us then to item number 8, which is the scrutiny review of leisure centre charges. So I move that in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, that the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraph of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before the item number on the agenda, which is the scrutiny review of leisure centre charges.